Petersburg, Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Kurt?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Okay, we have a full assembly tonight, so time for the voluntary pledge of allegiance. Would you please stand and recite the pledge? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, now we're looking for approval of the minutes from the assembly meeting of May 4th, 2015.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Is there any changes? If not, we'll leave them as they are. And that brings us to amendment or approval of this evening's meeting agenda. Is there any changes? I would entertain a motion to use it like it is.
Move to approve tonight's meeting agenda.
Is there a second?
I would like to add two items, if I could, to the agenda under new business.
Are they action items, or are they just a discussion
item? Discussion items.
So you want to put them both just under...
New business, or wherever you want to put them.
Assembly discussion items,
yes,
we won't take action on?
That'd be fine.
What are they?
One of them is I need to have somebody talk for a few minutes about the use of the harbor security boat. Is one of them. And the second one is I'd like to talk about the 2016 budget.
The what?
2016 budget, Nancy.
What do you want to talk about on the budget? I guess we'll talk about when we get there. We can't take action on it.
Yes.
It's advertised.
Yeah, that's not my intent. Yes.
Okay. So we'll add that under discussion items. One other change, I noticed that there was no public hearing advertised tonight for Ordinance 2015-07, so I was thinking maybe we'd address it, have a public hearing tonight, but we'll just do it on the third reading, so it'll be advertised that way. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Any other changes or to the agenda? Or is everybody happy with the amendments made to it? Okay, Kurt?
Well, I'll second that, I guess. Did we get a second?
No,
so I'll second the changes in the amendment.
Okay. And it looks like it's unanimous. Everybody's in favor. I don't see anybody objecting. So we'll move forward. That brings us past public hearings. Visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there any visitors with views related to agenda items tonight? I guess since the agenda's been changed, do you want to talk about the security boat, Rod? Can you come to the microphone, state your name, and...
Okay, I'd like to see the questions before I really... That's what I'm kind of curious. Are you ready to do that? Or? I'm curious about what the questions were about, and then I'd try to answer.
Yeah, generally we just do discussion between the council, assembly discussion items just then, but we'll wait till then. We'll let you speak then if there is questions. Okay, seeing nobody with views related to tonight's agenda, we'll move to visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Is there anybody with any views unrelated to tonight's agenda? Just for the... It's too sunny out. There's only three people in the audience, so we're probably not going to get many comments. So there is no board, commission, or committee reports. Nothing on a consent agenda. Nothing listed under report of other officers. There was nothing listed under mayor's report, but I just wanted to... let people know that the governor and lieutenant governor had a great time when they were in town on Saturday. They really enjoyed themselves, and they're looking forward to coming back to Petersburg. So I don't know if it was the weather, and I'm assuming it was the people they met, and they just had a really good time. So thanks for everybody that visited with them and put in a good plug for us. And that brings us to the manager's report. So Steve, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Treem House on Wrangell has been dismantled and the site mostly cleared of building materials. At this point, we have, stopped our pursuit of any kind of code enforcement at this point, although I believe Mr. Treem had appealed the Superior Court decision to the Supreme Court, and that's still pending. The fence and the shed that remain on the property, and that's per the court order. They were not part of the original house destruction. Community Development and Finance is working to streamline our process of issuing building permits and other land use permits. Now that we have both departments here in the same building, we can do some things slightly different that should make it more convenient for the public. So we're working on that. Updates to the cemetery plot directory were completed, and a new directory was installed prior to Mayfest. The draft comprehensive plan, we had the consultants here last week, will be available for public review within the next couple of weeks. We're doing one more kind of across-the-board review by some of the department heads. It's going to take place over this next week. They will then incorporate any changes they have into that. We'll make a big deal about it being out to the public and put it on the website. We'll make hard copies available, and we'll be looking for public input through the end of June. So, again, it should be available for everyone to look at in the next couple of weeks. The Community Development Department has begun the process with the attorney to develop procedures and notices, letters for use with the new nuisance ordinance. As we change that ordinance, we need to go through the process of making sure all of our documentation is kept the right way and that we've got a series of procedures to use for that process. Sandy is putting the final touches on a proposed ambulance fee increase. This will be presented to the Public Safety Advisory Board possibly this Wednesday. She's been called out of town on a family emergency, so I'm not sure we're going to meet this date or not, but soon we'll get it in front of them, and then we'll bring something forward to the Assembly to take a look at. If you hadn't noticed, CECON has started the South Nordic project. Please, for the public, be aware of the work and keep a lookout for trucks and equipment and obey the flaggers that will be stationed for everyone's safety. I think tomorrow they're working on Singley Alley Bridge to Nordic, and a lot of that will be closed off at various times, so it'll be important to pay attention. Thanks to Parks and Rec, Public Works, just about, you know, majority of the borough staff in one way or another for helping to put out and take down food court tents, empty trash, clean up afterwards. Again, just thanks to everyone who helped make Mayfest as successful as it was. Wastewater staff has been working to remedy the mud flow from the landfill sludge area, hauling rock pretty much at Blue Valley. That is pretty much done. The hill has been graded in the sense that it's we shouldn't have any more runoff there. And ADEC has been here, took a water sample on May 4th. We don't have the testing results back, or is that... Or am I out of date?
No, you're okay. Correct.
So we're still waiting on the testing results on that, but we're expecting everything to be okay. Wastewater treatment crew is still seeing some success with the composting of the sludge. The composter is fully operational at this time, but we're the loading and turning that is a bit labor-intensive. We're doing it by hand. We've budgeted for next fiscal year a telehandler that was to move that and make that happen. Carl's going to be working with me, and we'll see if that's something we can do earlier or if we need to wait until the July 1st new budget. PA recently approved a rental agreement to allow the borough staff to rent the tribe's wood chipper. We'll be using that as, you know, chipping branches and stuff, using the chips to go into the compost process to make that work. So it should works out well. We get rid of some of the landfill add-ons, don't have to burn it, and turn it into compost. The new collection truck delivery is estimated by the vendor to be 175 days. So the clock started on May 1st, so it looks like it'll be late October or early November. This pushes back the start of the Blue Cart program by a month or so. And we plan on working with Rigorous Trucking, the existing contractor who's been doing it, to see if they'll be willing to do a contract extension to take us until the end of the process when the truck and the carts are all here. The annual household hazardous waste event will be held at the Baylor on May 30th and 31st. Residents may bring chemicals, oil, paint, etc. up to the Baylor from 9 to 3 on those days for free disposal. So pass the word. We are advertising a small surplus auction in the motor pool. Information is available at Public Works or on the borough's website. Chris and Carl attended a partnering meeting with ADOT and CECON on Wednesday, May 13th. And it's something new by the groups, but its purpose is to make sure that all of the participants in the South Nordic Haugen Drive project can sit down and talk through and make sure that we all are talking the same language and working on the same things to make sure the project continues to move forward quickly and efficiently. So we'll see how that turns out. They'll be meeting throughout the project to make sure that happens. Our annual audit has been scheduled for August 3rd, and finance and the rest of us will be going through the pre-audit and test of the controls the week of July 13th. So we'll start getting a lot more back and forth between the auditor and us as we go through the procedures. Anna is working on entering the electric adjustments for the North Harbor electric bills. She will enter the manual adjustments per the power and lights request for the prior 3 months of activities, and then we'll go back through the process of back billing that. We had with the big set of tides, we had some problems in the Middle Harbor on the water line. Buildup of silt and mud coming out of Hammer Slough, we assume, buried the line enough that when the thing started moving, it was too much weight for the line, and actually the line pulled apart. With the assistance of Glenn Reed, the maintenance crew, and local divers, we were able to pull the line out of the mud, salvage the anchors and the hookups, and we've ordered the supplies. And Rock and Road will assist us in fusing the line back together sometime in the next couple weeks. We will, in the meantime, there won't be potable water in the Middle Harbor. So I apologize for everyone. It will be available in the North and South Harbor. So, reminder to the public, May is the time to renew your launch permits. So see Glow and the harbor staff. The DOT project related to particularly this extension of the bike path is actually posing some problems for Power and Light. The project engineer is actually wanting us to move more poles than we expected. So it'll be one of those things we'll try to work out. The major issue is part of that bike path is actually right over top of one of our main buried lines. So Power and Light's going to work with Carl and the ADOT and CECON and make sure we try to get some compromises here. May necessitate relocating about 1,500 feet of our three-phase underground line. So we'll see how that turns out. We have advertised for a journeyman lineman, have a few takers. We're not sure exactly how many quite yet. Mike Brooks has accepted a position in Sitka and we'll be leaving at the end of the month. Annual maintenance shutdown for SEPA transmission line repairs is scheduled for May 26th through the 31st, so we'll hear the diesels running. We are also, at this point, recruiting for a police officer position. We lost a gentleman, Mr. King, and preliminary background investigations are complete. Testing and interviews will take place next week. We hoped for kind of 4 to 6 applicants. I think it's fewer than that at this point. So we'll see how that turns out. Kind of thanks to Corey Rowley. He was our temporary officer we brought in when we had some officers out on disability. His last day will be the 20th. And just want to thank him for all the work he did for the community, kind of stepping in and helping us out. And part of the budget cuts from the state, the Petersburg prosecutor's position that was added a couple years ago through pressure from the local community has been terminated to the budget, state budget process. Chief Swihart spoke with the district attorney last week. They have no updated staffing plan at this point. They did lose some clerical staff as well. We're expecting reduced services going back to probably more how it was before. We don't know what the extent of that's going to be at this point yet, but we'll keep the community informed as we know. That's it.
Thanks. Any questions of the manager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have three just quick questions. One's for Carl. Carl, on the composter, we used to have, that's PIAs, isn't it? We had motors and automatic timers on that. Have those died or?
The staff has been having to do a bit of maintenance to get that machine back up and running. They've got everything working now, though.
Because that made it a little less labor intensive, so yeah. That was helpful.
Okay. The labor comes in when they're actually mixing the sawdust with the compost, or the sludge, excuse me.
And emptying it. Okay, thank you. I had two questions for you, Steve. One was on the, I went to the meeting with the doing the comprehensive plan, and just because I'm a cheap person and it's costing us $300,000, I was really hoping, and I really like a lot of the ideas they've come up with. I think they're kind of bold and a little bit, they'll be interesting anyway, but they were good. The things I was wondering about were, we've spent millions of dollars in 20 years in the economic development program, and I was thinking there's got to be hundreds of economic ideas that have come over the last 20 years, because that's a really good committee. We've had good directors, and I didn't see any of those in there. Again, trying to recoup that $300,000, I was hoping there'd be a lot of economic emphasis of what we could do, how we could make differences, what we could develop as a community to, sort of care for ourselves and move on business-wise. And is anything like that coming about?
I can put two things to that. First, just as a reminder, the money that was spent on the comp plan was actually part of the borough transition money provided by the state to form a borough. So it was not did not come out of the general fund. It was basically a grant from the legislature. On the economic and give you an example. The earlier meeting that we had with the comp plan folks and the kind of bigger planning team, which is about 12 to 15 people, went for just over 2 hours and could have gone for another 2 hours. The meeting we had with the assembly was obviously a much more scaled down version of that. So the answer, yes, there were more specifics on the economic portion of it. That appears throughout the plan in a lot of different places, everything from, talking to the school about more focus on VOTEC type things, apprentice programs, talking to the harbor folks about, opportunities to expand their business. So in the whole plan as itself, and I think you'll see that when you have a chance to, when it's given to you to look at, there's a lot more of that in there. So whether that's going to be enough for you, I can't answer that, but I can tell you didn't get a chance to see everything.
Okay. And the last thing, and it's my fault, I couldn't figure out how to stream it. The governor had a talk about 1-1-30 today about because of the legislature not moving, that he's going to pink slip everybody. I'm basically trying to, how's that going to impact us, if at all?
I have to believe it will have an impact. I don't know what it will be. What the governor said was that because the legislature has not approved a full year's budget and only $2 million, he will fund basically Department of Corrections, so people are watching any prisoners, a few other things, and notified state employees that gave them the 30 days notice, basically, that effective July 1st, majority of them will be out of work. Okay. So, what its impact on us, we've got state employees who work here. I don't think he got into specifics in the speech from what I could tell about withholding payments to any of the municipalities, but anything's possible.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions of the manager on his report? Okay, excuse me. Seeing none, we'll move to unfinished business. First item under unfinished business this evening is ordinances for second reading. First ordinance, or the only ordinance there, is ordinance 2015-07, an ordinance amending section 4.33 of the Petersburg Borough Code to establish a transient room tax fund and rescind resolution number 2004 which had established guidelines for appropriation of funds generated by the transient room tax. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Haverlick to adopt ordinance 2015-07 in its second reading. Any discussion?
Just Cindy? A little bit of discussion. Because I want folks to understand the implications of this, the committee agreed to dissolve itself, and that committee, the Transient Room Tax Committee in the past, had some funds available to it to hand out as grants. That money, now that it goes into this fund, may be allocated directly to the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce board has talked about how to handle that extra money, and they don't anticipate granting grants. However, they are willing to entertain partnering on projects. So this still will be available to the organizations in the community for things that are appropriate that benefit tourism and visitation in Petersburg, but not as an outright grant. That was a little unwieldy to manage.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
James?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 1507 passes unanimously in its second reading. Now that brings us to new business on the agenda this evening. And first item, there is an ordinance. It's 2015-08. It's the number. An ordinance declaring that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the first reading of ordinance 2015-08.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Greger and seconded by Member Haverlick to adopt this ordinance in its first reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2015-08 passes unanimously in its first reading. Our next ordinance is of the same nature. It's an ordinance number 2015-09, an ordinance declaring that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Haverlick to adopt ordinance 2015-08. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
You said 2008, I think you meant
2009. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just
2015-09. I don't want to back up. I want to keep
going. No,
so, any discussion on that? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2015-09 passes unanimously in its first reading. I was thinking about the elk steak I'm going to cook up there. Okay, the next item on the agenda is ordinance 2015-10, an ordinance amending City of Petersburg ordinance number 940 relating to the Board of Directors of the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority to add provisions for an alternate director. I'll entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Logadakis to adopt ordinance 2015-10. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2015-10 passes unanimously in its first meeting as well. And now we're looking for authorization to allow the new old-time Chautauqua group to camp at Sandy Beach Park for an extended period of time while performing service projects in Petersburg. I'd entertain a motion to authorize this.
So moved.
Second. Motion been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Lynn to authorize them to stay at Sandy Beach Park. Discussion. Kurt?
Just for clarification, seeing I'm kind of involved in this, and I'm not even going to be here, but I kind of got wrapped up in it from the very beginning. But anyway, as I was talking to Paul about where they would like to camp for this two nights, I believe, and 3 days in town, his preference was Sandy Beach, and you know I had some other alternatives that I thought I'd have him look at, but his first preference was this. So if they could get this would be great, you know, for them. Even though logistically moving that many people from Sandy Beach into town with vehicles could be a problem, but they're still willing to work around that. So, but this is a very diverse group of people, anywhere from senior citizens to young children. So I don't see a bunch of rowdy people, you know, going to be at the park and tearing things up or, you know, so I see Donnie's done a really excellent job here on setting up some guidelines, and I think if they would approve of those guidelines, I don't think there'll be any problem.
Okay, Cindy?
I had a couple questions, and I would really like to hear from public who are going to be affected, because that is a large group, and it's right around an area in a popular time in a popular place, so I have concerns about that. But are the restroom facilities there adequate, or are we going to put in porta-potties? How is that going to be handled? Okay, that's my first concern.
And technically, the bathrooms are adequate, but...
But for that big of a group for 2 full days?
Right, when you have that many people not just coming to visit, but camping there, and so, you know, you have your morning bathroom breaks, your evening bathroom breaks, the afternoon bathroom breaks, that's going to be a lot of wear and tear on those facilities. I suspect that it'll take a lot more cleaning for us to take care of. I mean, on Saturday night over Mayfest, I got a phone call saying, hey, by the way, you know, someone decided to miss the toilet. And so, you know, we ended up on Sunday morning making sure that all the bathrooms were cleaned. Those types of things are going to happen constantly to us.
And I was curious to know what kinds of projects they will be doing in exchange for the camping space. And that may be directed towards Kurt.
That was one of my questions as well.
Donnie actually has a project set up for them.
We do. We've got a couple of projects that we'll be working with them to get taken care of. It'll be brushing. It'll be, we've got a couple other, they're all Sandy Beach projects. We just purchased as part of the finishing grant of those shelters that we got a little bit ago. We got some new fire rings that they will help us install. Also a couple other new barbecues too.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Jerry?
Yeah, a couple of things. First off, I don't know why we're discussing this anyway, given the ordinance last year. I personally think it's your show, Donnie. If it goes great, you take the celebration. If you decide you want to do it, great. If you decide you want to do it and it goes poorly, it's on you. That's why you're department head. I mean, frankly speaking, I don't want to make this decision. You're a department head. And second, though, a question for you is, does this make sense to you as the department head?
It does. I mean, I have to weigh the issues, and the reason that I brought it specifically to the assembly was because of the fact, number one, it's over a 3-day period. If it was the Girl Scouts saying, hey, Donnie, by the way, we're going to have 15 people out at Sandy Beach, no big deal. Psh, great. Never should come in before the assembly. But when it's something as big as this, 3 days, possibly 55 people with the large amount of use, plus also the community coming in a week before the 4th of July, I need it to be in a public forum where the community has an opportunity to voice their concerns, if there are any. And right now, this is the forum that I have to be able to accomplish that.
Fair enough. But to clarify, yes is the short answer. You're in favor of this.
I am.
Roger. Thank you.
Yep.
Kurt?
But I might also add, and to maybe for Cindy's benefit here too, is that I talked to Ron Lesh at length because he would be the closest neighbor, mm-hmm. and he agreed that if things quieted down by 10 o'clock at night, he wouldn't have any okay. problem with this. And okay. he said, or else he would be calling the police. And then, of course, Nancy should have an opinion on this because she's close to it too. So how do you feel about that?
We'll see question? How they behave. I okay. have no doubt. Okay. I may have to join them. They start having too much fun.
Okay.
Any other questions or discussion on this authorization we have before us here? seeing no hands going up, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy?
You would start with me. Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay. They have been authorized to stay at the park as long as they behave. So, communications. I don't have any. Anybody else have any communications? Okay, we'll move to assembly discussion items. And under there, Assembly Member Lynn wanted to discuss the harbor security boat being used by the auxiliary Coast Guard Auxiliary, I believe, and the 2016 budget. So, yes. What do you want?
Let me start with the first one, the harbor security boat.
Yeah.
I've been contacted, asked questions by about a half a dozen people in both service areas. They've seen the harbor security boat going up and down with the Coast Guard Auxiliary using it. And I haven't seen it myself, but they, you know, quite frequently. The questions to me, which I couldn't answer, and I said I'd certainly ask the question, was, is what is the borough's policy on use of that that boat about taking it away from the what they say is the basic purpose of rescue and emergency services, so to speak. And I said, I don't know the answer to that, but I'd certainly ask the question. That's the first question. And the second question they followed, some of them followed with, is, all right, if the Coast Guard Auxiliary is going to use it, where's the liability lie? Does the liability lie with the borough then, and do they replace the motors? Does the borough have to replace the motors, or how does that all work? You know, and I said, I have no idea, but I'll certainly ask the questions.
I believe Steve could probably answer.
I can answer some of them.
I know we addressed this.
Yes.
Within the, has it been a year ago even?
Yeah, and it was back to the assembly for permission. And Rod is here who can maybe be able to answer some of the questions from the auxiliary. A couple things. First of all, the boat was purchased using Homeland Security grant funds. Just as a reminder, Coast Guard is actually part of Homeland Security. So we had to go to Homeland Security to even get their permission. Was the use of the boat by the auxiliary group okay or not? And they said, thumbs up. You know, I can't speak for the auxiliary mission and things that they've done, but, you know, in some of the conversations, everything from supporting the Coast Guard here to helping boaters and doing boat checks. So all of that fits within the policy of how that boat was supposed to be used, or can be used, I should say. The answer that, you know, can it still support people if we get a call out? You know, we've had that boat called out for emergency purposes, you know, less times than fingers on one hand. That was part of the deal going in, and the conversation with the auxiliary was, look, if you're out there on a mission for the Coast Guard, or and we get an emergency, can you respond? Can we radio you? And the answer was yes, up to a certain point. They can call, go off duty as Coast Guard members, and go on duty and actually and respond to an emergency if they needed to. I don't know that we want to necessarily do that, but they can do it. At one time, one of the auxiliary members was one of our EMTs. I'm not sure he's still involved or not. Okay. So, from the borough's perspective, I don't think we thought there was much of a risk of that. One of the big advantages was getting other people qualified as boat operators. That's one of the problems we've had with the use of the boat. The police have used it a couple times, and we have a limited number of operators. So the auxiliary has actually helped us with that as they've qualified their folks, and which allows us more people in the case if there is actually an emergency. We've got more people we can call upon. So that's kind of the liability piece was also covered. Auxiliary is covered under Coast Guard operations, as well as we've got, you know, by checking with the Homeland Security group before we even allowed it, we said, look, is this a authorized use? And they said, thumbs up, no problem, we're in good shape there. Rod, did I miss anything? Or say anything wrong?
No, I don't think so. All of it was all right. The one question about if we can use it, you know, if we're out on the people that see us going up and down the Narrows,
We're most of the time we're doing that, we're doing training. This is what we're doing out there. We're on training. We're not out there just running around on the boat. There's no question about that. I have to have orders. I have to have approval from Sector General to even take the boat out. Most of it is training. A week ago we took it. I went out as far as Banana Point, went to Two Tree, went over to St. John's. This is in our patrol area for the boat. That was kind of a training operation just to get familiar. I was just qualified as a coxswain, so I can operate the boat under Coast Guard rules now. If we're out on training operations, and I believe I'm right on this, but I can verify it. If there's a call that comes out that's an emergency call, let's say a boat called in, said, hey, I'm broke down, got to be towed. All I have to do, you can call me. I call Sector, tell them what the problem is. I go take care of the problem. We can do that. Anytime we have the boat out under orders, Coast Guard's paying for the fuel. Anything that happens to the boat, it's under our umbrella. We're not out there joyriding with it. And if there's any, and like I said, if there's something that they need to use the boat, all they got to do is call us and we're back on Johnny on the spot. But it's not, we're not using it as a plaything. It's very specific what we do. And we have very specific orders to be able to use that boat.
Kurt, you have a question?
A follow-up question for what you just said there, Rod. Anytime you have a rotating motor, you have depreciation. Is the Coast Guard kicking in for, you know, replacing the motors after a certain period of time? Because you're only going to get between 1,200 and 1,500 hours on the motor, and if you guys are using, say, 15% of that, are you guys putting in 15% for replacement, or
I would have to get
there?
That.
Okay.
I'd have to get a definite answer on that.
Okay, thank you.
But on the other side of that coin, I know until we started using it, it's set in the harbor and never turned an engine until, you know, maybe once or twice a year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, exercising it isn't going to, you know, and we're not over, you know, our regs as far as what we're told what to do and what we can do are a lot tighter than what the boat regs were to begin with. I mean, they don't let us go out there and just play with the boat. That's not our priority.
Mr. Mayor, if I could add something too. One of the reasons when Bruce Jones approached me about this a while back that I listened goes back to our connection with the Coast Guard, is trying to find as many ways as we could to work with the Coast Guard and in positive ways. As we've heard from our lobbyist in D.C., you know, when they go to evaluate communities, that's one of those things that they look at, which is how well do they work with us, you know, everything from housing and all that stuff. And the auxiliary is an opportunity for us to work, you know, kind of in a sense with the Coast Guard. The auxiliary members are all local Petersburg folks, and allows us to work well with them and, you know, potentially score some points when it comes down to when they start talking about, you know, possibilities of removing the mooring station if it ever came to that. So, anyway.
Good points. So, any other...
No,
John?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I see this as all positive and virtually no negatives at all. I really appreciate the cooperative effort, and I think it's a great program.
Well, we did vote as an assembly to authorize it
right
in the past, so, you know, so we had similar discussions then.
Yeah. So. Thank you. I was asked by a number of people, and I said, "Well, I asked a question because I didn't know the answer." And
right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because if they see us out there, I mean, we have the banners. We're not trying to hide anything.
Yeah.
We're doing one of two things. I call it all of it training. If I go out for anything, it's called training because I'm learning. I'm learning something. But it's a training operation so that we're proficient. You know, when they qualified me as a coxswain, it took me like 3 months, I think. But, you know, we were out here, and if you look out here in Frederick Sound, it probably looked like we were just going in little circles, you know, just putting around out there doing nothing. But we were doing search patterns the way that they want us to do it. We have to learn how to do that. So we're not out there just, you'll never see a pole on the boat. We're not out there playing.
I don't think this was the, at least what I heard, wasn't the question of the people. It was that part of it. Was
It's always available. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're back anytime. You know, we usually don't. There's going to be a few trips. The next two weekends we'll have it. I've got orders to take it. One of them to Wrangell to do safety inspections for Coast Guard over there. They don't have anybody. And the other one is to Point Baker to do safety inspections, commercial and recreational down there. And it's a way to, it's a good community service, I think.
Okay. I think the question's been answered, so. Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Rod, thank you very much for having me.
Now, all the other discussion item that Member Lynn wanted to talk about was the 2016 budget.
Yes. You know, we just voted on raising the mill rate in Service Area 1. Probably after I voted yes and I drove home, was driving home, and it's beginning to bother me that we voted. We said, I've seen in the paper, it was going to be $4 per 100,000, and let's say we had 3 million, I don't know exactly what we have in Service Area 1, but 3 million of evaluated property. That equaled to about $30,000 to $40,000. And I voted yes, and if I had to do it over, I'd vote no. And I'll tell you why, is that I think it's time we've got to take a look at the 2016 through 2018 in revenue generation. And when I say that, I'd like to see a spreadsheet that shows what we anticipate taking in as revenues without, you know, through those 3 years, without any embellishment or anything else, because I don't have any basis from which now to judge one way or another. I'd like to see what it is. And then I'd like to see a assembly discussion maybe sometime after our mayor returns, you know, that we can talk a little bit about it. And from there, I'd like to see, is it going down, is it going up, is it going to stay static? And talking with the governor and folks, it's going down. This question is how much. The other part that bothers me is that I don't want to have a big impact on borough employees. And if we can begin to make some adjustments and make some changes, you know, that go out over a 3 or 4 year period, we don't have to make, you know, cut your arm off and cut your leg off, which I've been involved with before. So I'd like to see some alternatives that looked at that, you know, like a 10% reduction, a 20% reduction over those years, and what effects that would have and what it means. And I'd like to see us to have some discussion on that before we say, well, we got to go generate more revenues. Then the next part of that discussion, I think, has to be open with both the hospital and the school, between all three of us as a group, as a board, and as an assembly, to have that discussion of their budgets and our budgets before we begin to make any kind of rational, you know, decisions about whether we need to increase or not. Anyhow, I'd like to see that process kind of take place before we get into the 2016 budget. How and where, you know, I'd like to see it after, you know, the mayor returns, you know, take place. But anyhow, that's my concerns that I'd like to lay. I'd add one other thing to that, is that what I also thought about is that when we made that decision to increase the mill rate, what we did is we pushed a lot of the burden of that. It's not much money right now, but we pushed the burden on that to our younger population. And if you look at the plan that's coming out, we in Petersburg here have the largest, are going to have, I don't remember the exact figures, but the largest aging population in the state of Alaska. So 33%, I think it was, of our population are going to be tax exempt, essentially. And so we're going to put more of the burden on the younger folks in this town who are trying to, you know, make a living and so forth. And I think that needs to be part of the discussion. And with that, I'll just open it up. That's my thoughts, anyhow.
Okay. Well, I think we, you know, the manager is, you know, communicating with the CEO of the hospital and the school.
We
were all sat in this meeting together. So, yeah, there is concern. So, and in fact, they're having a meeting tonight, right? The school board? So
that's where our finance director is over at the school board meeting.
Yeah, so. Any questions of Bob? Or any other comments on these two items?
Only that you make some good points, Bob. One thing I heard when we sat in that comprehensive plan meeting is that a goal of the comprehensive plan is financial sustainability. That's something that we also, or I also talked with the governor about. It's like there are certain things we're concerned about, like the ferries, but we're not always going to be there with our hand out. We do understand that the financial picture is changing, and we're looking creatively as a borough at how to address that. So, yeah. Good points, yeah. And I think that is our ultimate goal, that
that's
we want to look at
discussion
being more sustainable.
Yeah. Thank you. So, any other, John?
Sure, I would agree with this discussion. I think the more we can plan for the deficits, the smarter the ramifications will be. That, you know, with the school, with the hospital, with our public employees, the services we offer. Because, you know, as much as I hate to say it, we're spoiled and we're kind of a welfare state. We're used to our hand out, but we don't like anyone saying, "Oh, we're cutting back Parks and Rec. We're cutting back library." But I think the more people know about the budget and the consequences, the more they'll be willing to understand we have to do that, or you're going to have to come up with paying something. And on the comprehensive plan, I know the ideas they came back with, you know, saying that you're going to have to incorporate some taxes or do away with some tax exemptions. They're all, as we know, aren't ideas that people like or have already voted down. So the more we can prepare people for this and plan for these, they're definites. I mean, it's not something that we think may happen. It's going to happen. And the more we can get them involved, I think the better off our decision making will be, and the more understanding we'll have from the community.
Yeah, at least, you know, the state hasn't even passed their budget yet.
Right.
And that's first time, you know, there might be a state shutdown, and they don't know what their revenues are. So, yeah, we do need to keep an eye on it and have these discussions as a whole community, I think. So I think it's good to...
Not just as a whole community, but as a region. I heard Rod mention that you were going to do inspections over in Wrangell. KFSK did a report on the hospital, and I went with Angela Denning through the microbio lab. One of the things that they mentioned is we test the water for Wrangell. Those kinds of cross-pollination between communities, hospitals is another part of that equation. We're really, as money from the state becomes less and less, I think more cooperation between communities is going to be essential.
And I would agree with you, Cindy. I think we're going to have to start doing more sharing within our own, between the three entities here.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like, you know, we've had this discussion with the hospital board, and I'm sure we're going to have many more because the budget, you know, especially the states where we rely on a lot of money, is going to get tighter and tighter. This is just the start of things, until, you know, some other revenue stream shows up. Hopefully it does. Okay, any recognitions? John?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you mentioned this at the beginning with all the things that went on for this Mayfest. You know, I don't know who we thank for the nice weather, but whatever her name is, I really appreciate it. The other thing is Janet Seaman just did a beautiful job, you know, orchestrating this Mayfest, and Gene Curry with the reunion, and Donnie and his crew, and Carl and his crew, and Power and Light. I mean, it was just such a fantastic community effort. And even with the governor's coming here, I think we really impressed he and the lieutenant governor, showing how involved this community is and how well we take care of ourselves. And even in these tough times coming up, we're in a better position than most of the state. And even as one of my lesser assembly people mentioned, I'd like to thank Glo Wallen for the great job she did at the speech for, you know, with the governor, showing how the Petersburg people come here and are involved, and they've served their community, and the foundation party she had with Rasmussen, showing that we are supporting our community and we're giving grants to each other, and she'd be a great lobbyist. That person you mentioned, we can get rid of our own lobbyists and just put Gro out there, because he's not going to take no for an answer from anybody. See, Kurt, I gave you some credit.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you grab something? I just wanted to recognize a couple other people. Just adding to your point, Janet Holton was the festival chair, and she did a great job. It was a very small committee this year, so especially admirable considering how many people were in town. And we had, I think, two extra days of activities. Things really stretched out throughout the week, which was great because we had so many reunion folks here. Couple other people that I wanted to thank, Amber Burrell, who we changed the Dolly Derby because not many dollies were being caught to the Little Fisk Derby. We normally had 60 kids. This year there were 119 who signed up, so that was pretty special. And I also wanted to thank Ellen Rosowitz, who helped out, Matt Lenhard, who not only volunteered the school's equipment, but when the bridge broke on the base in the middle of the pageant, was able to find a replacement replacement instrument so that we could continue to have music through the rest of the festival. And then I also wanted to thank the Harbor and ADF&G for letting us tour the Kestrel, and I know the governor really appreciated being able to do that, although I understand that violated protocol. He's supposed to be on the boat with the commissioner, but we all had a great time, and it was an opportunity for the public as well, so that was pretty cool.
Is there any other recognitions this evening? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.